Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano, Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, let our listeners know a little bit about Keep Believing Ministries. Tell them what they can find at your excellent website.
Well, Ed, at keepbelieving.com, you can find biblical resources covering basically every part of the Bible, sermon outlines, Bible studies, questions and answers, video Q&A, a daily blog that we put out, a lot of material that we make available just to, we want to help people understand the Bible and give them some courage and strength to keep believing in Jesus. And Ed, if it's okay, let me just mention that the next 3 weeks I'm going to be away from this microphone because I'll be out and about teaching, but next week I'll be in Camp Forest Springs in central Wisconsin, 2 weeks after that at Word of Life in upstate New York, and then at America's Keswick in Whiting, New Jersey, which is about an hour southeast of Philadelphia. I just say that, Ed, because everywhere I go when I'm out doing Bible conferences, I never go anywhere but that I meet AFR listeners. So Wow. If you're in central Wisconsin, upstate New York, or South Jersey the next 4 weeks, please come by and say hello.
Now, are these meetings, by the way, we have mentioned this a time or two this week. Are these meetings that people can still sign up for and attend?
Well,
or are
they're open to the public. They are all open to the public, and there's no charge. So whether Wisconsin, New York, or New Jersey, it's all free, and would love to see our listeners there.
Great. That's a great invitation, folks. Take advantage of that if you're in the area, or you may be vacationing still and driving across the country, and maybe you can stop for a day or two, and please go listen to Ray Pritchard, very fine Bible teacher, and that's why he is invited to these places all over the country. And we're proud of Ray and our relationship with Ray and Keep Believing Ministries. So check that out at keepbelieving.com. All right, Steve Jordahl now joins us, reporter and news anchor for American Family News.
Hello.
Hello. I'm looking at the Fox News page, and it headline Thunderstruck, I guess a play on words, Thunderstruck.
Yeah,
it says, hearing erupts as defiant FBI official clashes with lawmakers, GOP chairman threatens contempt. You do have some additional sound from this hearing. It is, as it's unfolding now. So
I'm watching it on C-SPAN with the text
underneath. Well, as long as you can do both at the same time, you can talk to Ray and I and read and comprehend at the same time.
We'll find out, won't we?
We're going to find out. But now this has kind of been unusual for us because this is not a hearing that has been completed. This is underway as we are discussing the subject. And now in the previous hour, we played one clip that you sent over, this great exchange between Trey Gowdy, who's the chairman of this House Oversight Committee, and Peter Strzok, the FBI agent who's on the hot seat.
Yes.
And we got our listeners to the point where Trey Gowdy is trying to get him to explain the meaning of it. Now, first, do you have the actual text message?
Message was from, I love the way that Trey Gowdy did this.
Yes, twice.
From your colleague.
Hesitation. Long, awkward pause.
From Lisa Page. Lisa Page said, he's not going to be president, is he? Is he? And Peter Strzok replied, no, we'll stop it.
Yes.
And they were talking about what the word it, and there was a whole bunch of obfuscation and. Well, I did find out. I did bring in the conclusion to that, and we can listen to that now. This is what it is.
I want to know what it meant, Agent Strzok.
It would be his candidacy for the presidency.
See, it wasn't that tough.
And my sense that the American population would not vote him into office.
Right, right. Well, we hadn't gotten to the will yet.
Well, I'm trying to cut to the chase and explain the text.
The will is the American people. Is that right? That's your testimony. The will stop it. You were speaking on behalf of the American people. Is that correct?
Mr. Gowdy, what my testimony is and what I said during extensive asking of this question during my prior interview is I don't recall writing that text.
Well, there you go. Okay. So first of all, we'll stop it. It's very convenient to say, well, I was speaking with the royal we. We're, we meaning we, the American people.
Yeah.
That's
now,
who's going
to
stop it.
I'm not
it.
Buying that either because previous to that, please. Lisa Page said, maybe you're here talking to
right.
Peter Strzok. Maybe you're here to stop this. Or I forget the exact wording. And then said, well, he's
protect
not.
Protect the Americans.
Protect. So he's not going to be president, right? She says, right. She repeats. And then he says, no,
we'll
stop
it.
Now, listen, this is not something you can prove. You can't prove what he was thinking during that late night text exchange with his colleague. Okay.
Yes.
You know, but the course of the conversation makes it clearly seem like he's got something up his sleeve, some way to stop it. I don't buy the fact that he's talking about the American people, because the whole context is that can't happen.
Right.
Maybe you're here to protect the American people. And well, why would we need Peter Strzok to protect us if we are going to not allow it? We're going to stop it by voting.
Which is exactly the point that Trey Gowdy made. The other text that they have not gotten to, or at least they hadn't by the time I had left, or hadn't heard it anyway, was this whole idea of there's an insurance policy that they were going to pull
right.
if he did get elected. And the strong suspicion is that the insurance policy was this investigation and the shall we say, bogus files
yes.
on Trump collusion, the Steele dossier. And so anyway. There's one other.
Well, let me just get Ray in here. Now, Ray, I know you're not a federal prosecutor, although you may stay at a Holiday Inn while you are in Wisconsin. I don't know. But what's your take on Strzok's explanation?
It's completely unbelievable. It beggars common sense to say you're having a late night email exchange with your colleague and we'll stop it. That would she have understood it as we, the American people, will stop this? She wouldn't have understood it that way, I don't believe. And you know what, Steve? I just think a normal natural reading would suggest something other than the royal or editorial we the people are going to stop it.
No, I would agree. I think most people see through it. I think most people. But it's such an interesting debate, though. If you ask Democrats what they think, they will tell you they honestly believe it must have been the we, and that his whole argument here is, yes, I have strong opinions, but they're my private opinions and they didn't affect my work on the committee in the least. That's what he's saying over and over again. But his texts seem to indicate that he's got some things he wants to do in an official capacity, the insurance company, and stopping it, the candidacy or the presidency of Donald Trump. So,
and here's the thing. I'm interested in what he did, not what he said in the text. The text is only important to me because it seems clear from what he did that he was using his position to try to give aid and comfort. That's probably a bad way of phrasing it, because that generally refers to the enemy of the country. But he was trying to help the candidate he wanted, Hillary Clinton, and trying to hurt the political chances of the candidate he did not want to win, and that is Donald Trump. And he was using his official capacity and his fairly sizable power, I think, within the Federal Bureau of Investigation to accomplish those two goals. That's why I think the text is important, because of what he did.
Well, and the problem is, Ray, that we're not going to know what he did because it's part of an ongoing investigation, he says, and he's not free to talk about what he did or did not do or who he talked to or did not talk to.
That's very convenient right now.
And well, and they clearly have told him, take the hard line,
yes.
Admit nothing, right?
And a lawyer would. I mean, your lawyer
sure.
probably, that's a very wise thing to say.
Listen, I think, in all honesty, what is going to wind up happening is 5 years from now, 6 years from now, whatever, 10 years from now, we're going to have the information, the truth come out regarding the Obama administration, its weaponizing of the federal government to go after political opponents, and the attempts to use federal power to orchestrate an outcome in the 2016 election. But I'm not sure that anyone's going to go to jail over it. I think this is just going to be the subject of books, kind of like after the Clintons left office. There were half a dozen books that came out talking about the Vince Foster investigation. These are going to be things you'll never be able to prove in court, but will just be a historical perspective on a very tumultuous time in American politics when the government was used to an extent that is not legal.
In addition to that, remember that the winners write the history book. So whoever yes. wins this battle
right.
Is really going to have that we're writ large battle nationally over politics in general is going to have a lot of say about how this is going to end up.
The thing I would encourage our listeners about is we may not be able to get to the bottom of all the things that were done. For example, Hillary Clinton having staff members actually physically destroy
right.
External hard drives, those kinds of things. We may not ever get to the bottom of that, but we can try to reorient our country back to the founding principles and get right the ship, even though some of these things that have happened may never result in the punishment of people who did illegal things.
I think it's important to try.
Yes, absolutely.
There's one more cut I wanted to play for you all, and this to me is the surest sign that I have ever seen that our government in Washington is irretrievably broken. What you're going to hear is an argument between Mr. Nadler, who is the Democrat congressman from New York,
yes.
and Bob Goodlatte, who is the chairman of the committee, and a couple other people chiming in. The Democrats are trying, in fact, Mr. Nadler, during his opening statement, pretty much told Mr. Strzok what he should and shouldn't say. You shouldn't say anything about ongoing investigations and et cetera, et cetera. Well, at one point, they wanted to, Mr. Strzok turned around to question an attorney. Somebody objected to the fact that he was doing that, and the chairman ruled that he could question his own attorney, but he couldn't question the FBI attorney. The FBI attorney and the Democrats erupted, and the whole process broke down. And just listen to this little bit of
this is going to be chaos, really.
Yeah.
Appeal the ruling of the chair.
It's not a point of order.
He's ruled that it's not a point of order. That is not a ruling. Mr. Strzok, Mr. Chairman, I insist on my point of order, and I insist on
Mr. Strzok.
Appealing the ruling of the chair.
Mr. Strzok, knowing the advice that
point
I
of order,
have given
Mr.
You.
Chairman. Point of order. I believe there's a point of order that's been raised, and you've ruled. We have a right now to answer Mr. Nadler's.
It is not a valid point of order.
The chair has already expressed it, Mr. Chairman, because you don't
question on that ruling.
Point of order.
Okay.
And it went on, and it went on, and it went on. And then they vote. They had a motion, a point of order, and then they had a motion to table the point of order, and they went and had a vote, a count by count vote. On whether to table the point of order. And there must be 40 or 50 congressmen and women in this session. So they went person by person, and then some people voted as part of two committees because there's the oversight committee and then there's the regular committee. And then they had an argument about whether your vote could be counted twice or not. And it just degenerated.
Okay. Now Steve believes this is a demonstration that our country, our democracy, our republic is irreparably broken. However, Ray, I have to say, I have been in church business meetings that
right,
sounded
right.
exactly like that. So
I've been in more than one like that. That's right.
Well, I know one or two churches that are pretty
irretrievably broken, right?
Well,
well, who won at the end of all that? Who quote won that battle?
Well, the Republicans did because they have more people.
And they got the votes, right?
They had the votes.
But for the majority of Americans who were watching that, I have to believe they put that on mute. And went back to playing Call of Duty or something on their computers or whatever, or went and got a bagel and a cup of coffee, and then came back. So I was talking with Fred off camera during a break, here in the last hour. This country is so polarized, and these two mutually exclusive worldviews that are at war in our country, we've just got more of that we right. just heard. We've right. got more of that coming until one side or the other prevails. My prayer is that revival will come to our nation, and we'll have 60 or 70% of our country that believes as our founders did in terms of political principles, and then we can get back to some sanity. If the other side wins and 60 to 70% move to a secular humanistic worldview, then we'll batten down the hatches and wait for God to make his final decision regarding America. But there's more of that to come, I think, Steve.
Well, and all of this is really because President Trump won an election.
Yes.
I continue to be amused by our president at times. I think he's done some fantastic things. I think the economy roaring right now is largely, and if not all, due to President Trump's policies of bringing money and businesses back into the United States. His foreign policy decisions have been unconventional but successful. You think of the North Korea thing. He was just over in Belgium with the NATO
right.
allies. And people were saying he was breaking all of that down, the relationship between us and our allies down, to never again be retrieved. And then at the end of the meeting, he has a press conference, and he says it was successful, and they're going to be paying more, and look, it's successful. So I don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but he thinks it will.
Do you have some sound?
I do have some sound. I do happen to have some sound.
Here we go.
It's very amusing and interesting. Oh, I'm sorry. This is clip one.
The United States commitment to NATO is very strong, remains very strong, but primarily because everyone, the spirit they have, the amount of money they're willing to spend, the additional money that they will be putting up has been really, really amazing to see it. To see the level of spirit in that room is incredible.
Hi, Tomislav Krasnec from Večernji List, Croatian daily newspaper. We understand your message.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. We understand your message, but some people ask themselves, will you be tweeting differently once you board the Air Force One? Thank you.
No, that's other people that do that. I don't. I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
As opposed to an unstable genius.
I think that may have been a little bit of a shot. Was it towards Trudeau of Canada or Macron of France from one of the previous meetings that they said something else after the meeting was over?
Well,
I'm trying to get in the head of Donald Trump. I'm not sure that's
maybe not wise. But the Croatian reporter was noting that there's often contradictory messages
right.
in President Trump's tweets. President Trump's tweets are apparently a lot like Donald Strzok's tweets, that he does them late at night, doesn't remember doing them,
yeah.
might say different
That's
things.
That's right. That's right.
Don't know what we mean by them.
Listen, President Trump, I mean this, folks, I don't mean any disrespect by what I'm about to say about President Trump. My mom, this is what I think about President Trump. My mom would refer to some person as a character. That person's a character. You know,
that's a minimum you could say.
Yes, that's right. And he's a character.
He's unpredictable.
He will be memorable. Nobody is ever going to forget Donald Trump. And so anyway, that is about as funny as it gets. I'm a stable genius. He's using two words that very rarely are applied to him by the mainstream media.
But
anywhere.
Which may be true.
But may be true. That's right. So anyway, he's a character. That is for sure. So, all right, what else we got? We're running out of time here.
Let's talk about ICE. There has been a
Immigration and Custom Enforcement.
Yes, there's been a move to do away with Immigration and Custom Enforcement, and it is a move that has picked up some steam, and I'm afraid that in California, actually, it's probably not going to die down anytime soon because officials in Contra Costa County, which is in the Bay Area on the East Bay, have decided to cut their ties with ICE and empty their holding pen of immigrants that have been caught because of the protesters out front. It's just becoming according to the city manager or the county manager, it's become too expensive to manage these protests. Well, if you think that's going to make the protesters happy and they're going to go away, no, they're going to be doubling their efforts now at every other ICE facility to try to get others to say the same thing. So there's this morning on Fox and Friends, the acting Customs and Border Patrol deputy commissioner, his name is Robert Perez, he defended ICE, and this is what it sounded like.
Well, what I would encourage folks to do is really take a look at the scope and the breadth of not just the Homeland Security mission, Steve, but the national security mission that both CBP and ICE performs every day. Our frontline men and women are standing side by side, and while CBP is that frontline interdiction agency, not just enforcing immigration laws, but protecting the nation against national security threats, drug traffickers, human traffickers, counterfeiters, folks who will steal our intellectual property, ICE is right alongside doing all those functions with us, and in fact, working to investigate the cases we bring forward collaboratively with us to dismantle the criminal organizations that are perpetuating these illegal acts. 21st century border really requires 21st century resourcing and legal constructs under laws. And so I would, again, encourage people to understand the entirety of the scope and breadth of what it is we do. What ICE does alongside CBP is critically important for the safety and security of the entire nation.
Well, it's Robert Perez is his name.
Robert Perez is the man's name defending his
you know,
agency.
Now he's, is he head over the entirety of ICE? Or?
He's acting director, assistant director of Border and Customs.
Very, very Patrol, thoughtful man
Customs and Border,
who is making it clear that that what ICE does is not as simplistic as its opponents are saying in terms of making it a caricature of ICE. All right, listen, we've got we're running out of time just a little bit here. Let's get to this
one more thing
last
here.
Story,
another point of contention in this country now is the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, who has been nominated by President Trump to sit on the Supreme Court. He was making the rounds yesterday of the Capitol Hill. And just hours after he was on Capitol Hill, in fact, hours after he was nominated, the press, the Daily Caller, caught him. They got some pictures of him. They caught him.
That sounds bad.
He was without any kind of press people, and they caught him feeding the homeless with his church. He was out there under a tent in a ball cap, wearing a ball cap. No one would recognize him unless they knew who they were looking for, and he was dishing up food for the homeless.
Now, Ray, I won't get you in here on
how
this.
How dare he?
Yeah,
how
because,
dare he, right.
You know, you when Steve started, and I knew what the story was, but when Steve starts it off by they caught Brett Kavanaugh,
right.
The nominee, you know, the press did. Here's exactly the way Christians are supposed to do good deeds, because this was not on the part of Brett Kavanaugh. This was not publicly announced. This was not a photo op.
He didn't bring the cameras out.
He didn't bring the cameras. Right. He just went out to feed the homeless. Dressed down. He didn't wear his, black robe or anything. That's the way Christians are supposed to do that kind of thing, right?
Just go out and do good in Jesus' name and let God take care of your reputation and your legacy. Good on him for doing that. We should all go and do what he did.
Be a good start for all of us, wouldn't it?
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Ray. Appreciate it. And thank you for being on with us this week. And folks, pray for Ray as he goes to on the road preaching and teaching the gospel for the next 3 weeks. Check out his ministry at keepbelieving.com. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ed.
And Steve, thank you for
your
work, your diligence. Folks, thank you for listening and tuning into today's issues. Tomorrow is Trivia Friday. You won't want to miss that. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Stay tuned.